Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See the Podcast, Season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahan, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
I'm Lior Phillips, host of This Must Be The Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Always appreciate you joining in, checking out the new interviews. We put them out, a new interview every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thanks to everyone who leaves the comments in the comment boxes and the various places that you can hear this podcast.
I always appreciate hearing from you guys, you know, whether it's a question about the interview or what you liked about the interview or what you didn't like. Hey, Kyle, stop talking so much. Let them talk some. Seriously, whatever you want to say. Thanks so much. If you can leave a review sometimes, that's helpful as well. Of course, if you're not subscribed and this is your kind of thing, take that chance. You can find us in all the regular spots, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, NPR, wherever you get your podcast. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, I'm talking with King Krewel. Archie is back with a brand new record called Man Alive. It's got an exclamation point at the end of it, so I assume that must be interpreted in the way I have to say it. Man Alive! And we're going to get a little bit of the insights into what this record is. From its beginnings, well, at least the first moments we heard a lot of these songs, or a handful of these songs, in the Hey World short film that came out last year, though in a much more stripped-back version, which allows him a little bit of a tribute to the guitar, as he'll tell you, to some of the deeper themes that we'll find within the record: depression, loneliness, how he approaches the writing, and the difference when you're writing about it in real time versus when you're seeing it in the rear view. Archie recently became a parent last year too, so of course we'll kind of figure out how that has affected this record, and if it affects his art at all. Is that something we put too much weight behind, especially as interviewers? And we'll hear about some of the outside music that might have influenced this record, from tracks from Solange, Nina Simone, and the Beatles. Interestingly, Archie's going to tell you that the Beatles are really only something that he's recently got into. And that's a different angle than I think most of us are used to. I'll also ask about when, as a songwriter, he knows when a song is actually finished, and plenty more beyond that. So let's jump into it, talking about the record Man Alive. It's Kyle Meredith with King Krewel.
Yeah.
Man Alive, which is such an interesting new record. I mean, you always tend to do something very interesting. We had our first taste of these in, you know, the kind of stripped back acoustic live versions with the Hey World short film. I was sort of wondering, you know, presenting them like that, was there any other reason than to make the film? I mean, it kind of presents them in a much less produced way.
You know, I wrote most of those compositions with just me and the instrument. You know, the guitar has been something in my life since I was very young. It's given me, you know, all kinds of things. It's given me money, it's given me love, it's given me hatred, it's given me despair, it's given me pain. But it's traveled with me for a long time, and just wanted to respect that relationship.
It did remind me of those lo-fi short films of like the 80s and maybe even the early 90s. Was there a specific direction that you guys were looking for? Any homage treatment, I guess?
Well, we kind of filmed the first performance in February 2019 when it was snowing, and that's in our back garden. And that was just a one-off thing. And then the people who sell the record kind of, you know, they saw it and they thought, oh, can you do like a couple more? And I was like, no. And then I was like getting pressure from them to do more. So I was like, all right, I'll do some more. But then, you know, if I'm going to do some more, I'll make it a whole big thing and I'll write a narrative to it and try and construct some kind of story throughout it. And yeah, it kind of worked like that. And I was just surrounded by all the environments that are depicted in it. So I just wanted to make the most of that.
Well, you know, with respect to your personal life, I would have to ask, naming it Hey World, if that had anything to do with becoming a parent at the time, too, which is, I have a son, and I feel like that was a phrase that I used a lot, you know, in those first few months.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know.
You've mentioned in the press release that, you know, half of the part, or at least portions of this record, does come before parenthood and some afterwards. Can you hear a difference in the songs at that point, if it was the writing process? And I guess I don't know that part of it.
I guess, you know, if anyone's life, you know, there's constant evolution and change and cadences of what goes on around you. I think I'm constantly changing, so I don't know. I think it's just natural that that happens.
I don't know if we put more weight on that, especially as interviewers, as we're just, you know, a lot of times, you know, people look for content and everything. But the idea that parenthood can change the direction of an artist as much as we think it might. And maybe that's something that you see more in the rear view as you get further along. But I guess that is the question. Do you see that there's a big difference in the way you approach art since becoming a parent?
Not approaching art. I'd say that my art anyway is just a reflection of my life. It's honest depiction of a lot of stuff that happens to me. So in that, I'd say that, yeah, well, it naturally has to kind of change. But, you know, I wouldn't be able to comprehend it, and I wouldn't be able living and I'm just walking and I'm just breathing the same way as I used to. I just kind of, you know, it was one of the biggest changes in my life for sure. But no, I don't pay too much attention to that.
Well, we'll bring up a few of the songs, you know, with the first single, Don't Let the Dragons Drag On. Would I be far off base saying it's a song that hits on depression?
I wouldn't say far off, no. I'd say it's about depression. Yeah.
Once you're writing about it, you know, sort of seeing the idea of loneliness and seeing depression in the rear view, writing about it in that way instead of being directly in it, is there a difference in the songwriting angle when you get to look back on something like that?
I like that term you said about the rear view. I don't know, perhaps. I don't know. I don't put too much pressure on myself. I just write how I write.
Well, does the, as I've read, does the drag, is that a reference to a species of alien?
Yeah.
Can you explain that a little bit? Because that, I have no history with that part of it whatsoever, but it sounds really interesting.
It's from a film. It's from a film, the French film called Planet of Solars. Fantastic Planet in English, I think, and I don't know, it's just from that film. I was just kind of watching it at the same time and was just like, you know, I just kind of took references from it. You should watch it.
I would love to. I mean, I'm always happy when an artist turns me on to something that I wouldn't have known about otherwise, because I don't think I would have known about that otherwise. Does Nilufer Yanya, I mean, online, I think, maybe on Genius or something, it says she co-wrote. Is she part of that song?
She's on the song. She sampled the, I kind of just used her voice as an instrument. It's a sample from, it's an a cappella that she sent me of her singing the song Small Crimes. And I really liked that song, so I reached out to her and asked her if I could have her vocals, because I really like the tone and the texture of them. I'm a very tonal and textural kind of person. I kind of sleep in that when I listen to music. And yeah, I just wanted it. I made a couple remixes of it, and then, you know, it just kind of became an instrument for me. And so, yeah, I just put it on some songs.
She's an amazing artist. I mean, she's brand new to us over here, but I love what she's done. So that was really exciting to kind of see that, that the collaboration was there anyway.
That
quality you're talking about, there's a Spotify playlist that I think is from you. It's definitely on your page and everything that goes along with presents other songs. I don't know, possibly as an influence or just as something else to listen to. And I was sort of wondering that, is there a significance of the songs you use? Because that dreamy quality can be found a lot in there with especially like Solange or, you know, one of Nina Simone's deeper cuts.
I think it's someone probably makes it from the stuff I play on radios. And when, you know, when like people ask me to write like lists of songs that I'm listening to, I think it's a kind of amalgamation of that. But I've never seen it written down. I think they just come from kind of radio shows where I've played the stuff. So, it is music I listen to for sure. And I think that I do really like that kind of music. And I guess it does spill into my own.
I mean, there's a few things on there, even beyond the Solange and Nina that I mentioned, like The Beatles, A Day in the Life is on that list. And I thought lyrically, like musically, I wouldn't have automatically, you know, put the two together with what you're doing on this record and that song. But I feel like lyrically, those two might be, you know, closely related somehow.
I listened to The Beatles probably like the first time properly in my life, like whilst I was making a record. And I'd always hated them because I grew up listening to punk music and I thought like, if you like The Beatles, there was something wrong with you. But now I kind of matured and realized that I really liked them. And that's just a composition that I respect.
It's interesting. Usually a Beatle, yeah, I mean, not for everybody, but The Beatles is a youth reference for a lot of people. You know, they get into the pop thing early. So it's talking to someone who comes at it later on.
I think everyone's open to have their own interpretation of stuff.
I'll kind of close out. There is a song on here called The Dream. It's a beautiful song. It's a short song. You know, I think it's only like a minute and a half or something like that. Do you find, you know, for like a painter, it's always a question knowing when the painting is finished. That's the hardest thing a lot of painters will tell you, that, you know, when it comes to painting. Do you find that to be a challenge, especially on a song like this, you know, that might be shorter? Do you ever think, like, does it have a thing like, is this finished or not?
No, I think, you know, I can then, you know, like you talked about on the Hey World video, I can then interpretate the compositions in whatever way I want to. And live, I could stretch it out if I needed to. So I think, you know, I don't put too much pressure on myself. Sometimes the recording is just a kind of a moment in time. That was a transitional song anyway. I really wrote it for a transition. But, you know, it can manifest in whatever kind of way it has to live. And actually, the title comes from a sculpture. It's called The Dream.
Is that something I can look up to see? Again, I'm using this as an opportunity to enlighten myself.
Yeah, I think there's methods out there where you could probably find it.
Well, again, it's all made for such this, you know, interesting and beautiful little creation of a record here, you know, and I'm so happy that you're doing what you do, and I always appreciate the music. So, you know, thank you again for the new record for Man Alive. And Archie, thanks so much for taking the time to talk today, too. This was really interesting.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thank you. Have a nice day. And thank you for listening and interpreting the music.
Anytime, man. Thanks again. Take care.
Peace.
My thanks. King Cruel, the new record is called Man Alive. And thanks to you also for checking out the episode here. But before you leave, I hope if you're not already, you'll consider subscribing to this series. You can do it really just about anywhere on the internet that if you're listening to this somewhere, there is a subscribe button in front of you. But that does include YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all the big hubs around podcast land. After that, head to WFPK.org, where you'll hear me Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern with an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. And again, that's WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me on just about any social media platform at Kyle Meredith. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.